Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Bob Fioretti has jumped into the studio. He's part of our Lazy Susan of candidates that we are having on this week, of mayoral candidates. And Lazy Susan, of course, was my nickname in high school.
Yes. Yeah.
We're swinging the plate.
We're swinging the plate.
Not that any of them are lazy, because they're all running like crazy right now in this campaign season.
But, and as is former Alderman Fioretti, who is who's going to the big forum tonight that Channel 9's throwing at 7 o'clock up on the northwest side, 36th Ward. But he's doing a fundraiser at one of my favorite restaurants in Chicago in between.
At Jade Court.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My favorite restaurant, too.
Jade Court is the best Chinese restaurant
so good.
In North America.
It was so good that you wouldn't even mention its name for the longest time, because
right.
you didn't want anybody to go there.
That's
and then
true.
We finally got it out of you.
Yeah.
It
well,
is good.
Phil Vitale then wrote a story about calling it the best Chinese restaurant in Chicago. So anyway, so I may just join you at your fundraiser, even though I technically can't attend a fundraiser. I'm just going to go and pick up
and sit in the other room.
The duck fried rice.
Yes.
Look out.
The
All
crab
right.
is great, too.
Yeah.
Mm.
We should talk about that.
There.
All right, you got my vote already, Bob, because we agree on this. All right, tonight is this forum. It's very interesting. Toni Perkwinkle just announced she will not be attending this forum. She has now a conflict that has popped up. And this, after the controversy today, she released an ad. Let's play a little bit of it for you. She released an ad in which she takes credit for the revealing of the police forensics data surrounding the death of Laquan McDonald.
16 shots, 9 in the back. Facts that the police and city officials tried to bury. Facts that Toni Preckwinkle brought to light. It was Toni who made sure Laquan McDonald's autopsy went public. Toni, who called for the dash cam footage to be released. Toni demanded the police chief be fired and helped oust the state's attorney for not doing her job. Toni Preckwinkle, a mayor who does what's right.
Okay.
What do you think?
A whole raft of credit being taken there. What do you think about that?
Absolutely incredulous, her whole ad. I asked for her to withdraw from the race prior to this, as a matter of fact, and she really should. She's part of a corrupt Democratic machine that continues spewing forth lies, misunderstandings, and falsehoods. I did talk to Will Calloway earlier today, who was the activist who was part of the lawsuit that freed the
Freedom
tape
of Information Act
under the Freedom of Information Act, and he was outraged too. And I think the social media is showing that at this point. Toni Preckwinkle never said anything. She was a ROM enabler in two elections, and now she's in this race, and she really ought to examine what she's doing.
Seems like it has backfired on her in a lot of ways. You even have Father Flager and others saying, let's give the credit to the activists, the people who are on the ground making this, putting this out there in the public eye and keeping it there, when it seemed like the whole system in this city was doing everything it could to keep it secret.
Cover it up.
Extended family members, right, who are, and the attorneys that were the ones that were really pushing for that information to get out. So it's always how it goes in this town. I mean, it doesn't necessarily, it's, you
sadly
know.
Sadly so.
But it is, this is, this, and this moment too, I think there are so many issues that really are so important to Chicagoans in this, that playing naked politics is, I think, going to slide under the bridge here a little bit, because people want to know, how are you going to keep the streets safer? What are you going to do about taxes? What are you going to do about, I mean, people are upset about rats,
you
right?
Mean, but, obviously. And what you just said, because the problem that we're having, one of the other candidates wanted to name the Dan Ryan Expressway, right? Bill Daley was talking about that. I said, I had a press conference at the Daley Center, and I said, we should be naming the Daley Center after Obama. It was a tongue-in-cheek, and it was drawing the attention, because we need to talk about the serious issues,
yeah.
Crime, education, and the biggest pension fall-off that we're going to see. Whoever is elected mayor from May 15th to September 1st has to find $400 million new dollars to pay into the pension fund. And they better be talking seriously about the issues.
It seems like it's a moment in time, too, where voters, more than I can remember, are demanding accountability. They're demanding reform, and they're not sort of just rolling their eyes and laughing anymore when you hear about government abuse and taxpayer waste and some of these other issues. And the Laquan McDonald part was a big part of that, because I think it was yet another example of the city covering up things that shouldn't have been covered up. And now you have the scrutinizing of an alderman and the workman's comp situation. And so people really want those answers. Are you one of those? Are you one of those running for office who thinks that people who are linked to the establishment players in this town should be out of the race altogether, or do they deserve a place in this race as well?
Well, they can have a place in the race, but you know, I was outspoken against both Daley and Rahm. I raised the issues. They actually redistricted me out of my own ward. They moved the second ward up to the north side. They tried to shut me down often. I raise the issues. I mean, what I find ironic is all of a sudden the issues that I've been talking about for the last 10 years, all these reform candidates are now on board, whether it's term limits, whether it's a smaller city council, whether it's dealing with our schools, what we need to do, finding proper education, and dealing with crime in our streets. I am surprised that now they have essentially taken all of my positions and are using them one way or the other.
You were in City Hall for a long time. Are you surprised by
8 years? That was long enough.
That is long enough.
Felt longer.
Yeah.
For you.
But you were there. I mean, and you knew all these players. You surprised by the indictment against Ed Burke?
Well, I think people think he was a lot smarter than that. We had a professional relationship. It would have, when I look at the 33 aldermen that have been convicted since 1972, most of them were indicted in their third or fourth term. Term limits would have solved that problem. It's
well,
a simpler
third or fourth, though, is his 40th term, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Even in spite of that, I mean, he was running the finance committee without any kind of real oversight. He had a $100 million fund for workman's compensation that really didn't have to be scrutinized by anybody. I mean, it was kind of an open secret, but you know, no one ever made a big deal out of it. It sat right there. I don't know of any other municipal, state, or federal government that could do that.
It doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. No other municipality has that kind of a relationship. And what I find also a problem with the way our city council operates, and finance was clearly one of them, as a committee when they met, they barely or seldom had quorums. And they just do business anyway. I used to call quorum calls often on committees that I was on when I was the alderman.
So you have to have a certain number of people there. I can't just do it with two guys, which sometimes would happen.
Oh, no,
right?
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Sometimes it wasn't even two guys. It was one guy and another guy taking notes. All right, so you said you got to find $400 million. You become mayor. Bob Fioretti becomes mayor in February or April, right? Where are you going to find the $400 million you need by September?
Well, first of all, I'm willing to listen to any idea. I'm going to have town hall meetings across the city. I will have ward meetings, just like I had ward night across the city, to listen to ideas. I have talked about a commuter tax for the last 6 years. It would generate a 1% on people who live in Indiana, Wisconsin, and suburbs who work here. It would generate $300 million. I will not raise.
No, what would that commuter tax look like? How much?
It would be 1% on those that.
1% income tax.
It's an income tax. Yes, only on people that live outside the city but work here. Now, I'm not wedded to that idea. I'm willing to listen to anything. We can do video gaming. That would generate $70 million here, and we'd have to lift the band, and that's it. It would generate $70 million. If I can't find $30 million in the budget, something's wrong. We have a $10.2 billion budget, and there
are $70 million plus $30 million. That's $100 million. You're still $300
short. And a commuter tax.
Oh, and a commuter tax.
Would generate $300 million. And at the same time, if we have to, or before we get to the commuter tax, we'd have to squeeze our TIFs. We got $1.5 billion in there. Let's see what we can do to bring it over to the city. And
now, how do you do that? What is the mechanism by doing that?
We can declare a surplus. Now, the problem with a surplus, let's say we have the city only gets a little bit over 10% of that amount of the surplus, and the rest go to all the other governmental agencies at that time. So it's not surpluses benefit all the other groups. But we should be using TIFs not for the developers. We should be using it for infrastructure repairs, sidewalks, streets, new lighting throughout the city. That's what the original purpose of TIFs were for, and not for helping developers.
Several candidates calling on to reduce the number of aldermen. They said too many aldermen, and I know you've actually criticized the ward-by-ward system where the services are awarded, that you say that maybe there's some savings that could be brought from that, and the system isn't exactly working efficiently.
Well, I've always been in favor of a smaller city council. In fact, the last time we had the remap, I and Scott Wagesback introduced a map that called for 35 aldermen, because we thought at that time there was enough of a shift that we could have had it done. We were one vote short of everything, and so we couldn't get it through. But it showed that the temperature of the city council even then wanted to have a smaller city council. We need to take away the aldermanic prerogative. That's what led to the Burke problem.
Let's we should explain what that is too, because mm-hmm. I think Chicagoans and people listening who don't live in the city of Chicago,
right.
There's millions of those listening. I think they'd be shocked to learn that an alderman in the city of Chicago has ultimate authority in his ward or her ward. They are able to decide whether a business can open in the ward, whether a building can be built, a house can be built, a house can be rehabbed, all of those kinds of things.
And I have no idea.
And it's a one-on-one thing. Right.
Yes, it is. And the problem is, and I've said that before, we take away that it invites corruption, period. It invites people who don't support candidates or the incumbent to give money to his or her fundraiser because they think they have to do it.
Right.
I have walked through the downtown area and have met and been at restaurants here that they're not getting something through. And they ask me, should I give the alderman a contribution? I say, no. Sit there and wait until he or she signs off on the document allowing you an outdoor cafe.
Right.
Or
then give it, then give it to him. I mean, but that's the way it goes.
That's the question you ask.
Right. It's not like it, and it opens itself to it. And, a lot of these guys be coy about it. Go, oh, don't worry about it. That's totally separate. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to support me, but I'm going to support you.
And
right, what does that sentence end
right,
with?
Right. And especially in this area, in the downtown area, the developing areas, I, in my first year in office, gave back over $100,000 to developers because I refused to take developer money during my 8 years in office. And you can imagine $100,000 in the first year, you can keep adding it up and see what it would have been.
Now, what do you get to do with that money once it's all over? Like with your campaign fund?
Well, my campaign fund, because, other campaign funds, I'm not sure what they do. But if they want to close a campaign under the current law, it would have to go to something very similar, a similar organization. So people keep their campaign money.
So the you'd have to give it to another campaign.
Yes.
Right? Or a charity, I think.
Yes,
right?
A charity is also on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if they keep their campaign fund up and going,
mm-hmm.
I mean, can they repaint their house?
No. They did change the law, so it really can't personally benefit you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they say.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So,
how's your health, I should ask you?
My health is good. I had a bad bout with the cancer. I lost 50 pounds. I had a feeding tube for 8.5 months. I had a few operations after that, a lot of chemo, a lot of radiation. I put the weight back on, exercising every day. I'm
good
feeling good. I can take on the battle. But what it has driven me also, in light of a lot of the organizations I support, I chair support groups of people that have cancer. I talk to people on a daily basis who call me from all parts of the country with various types of cancer. If I can't deal with them, I send them to other professionals who can help them deal with the issue, because It is sometimes it was a tough fight. I always remember my doctor. I said to him, "Man, you did not tell me how tough it was." And he said to me, "You know, if I would have told you, you would never have done it."
Yeah, it's day by day.
Okay. Wow. That is compelling.
It is.
Bob, thank you very much for being with
Thanks,
us. Good
Bob.
Luck out
Good
there on the campaign trail.
You.
We'll see you tonight on the Channel 9 forum.
At Jade Restaurant sometime.
And Jade Court. I'm telling you, it's just the best, but we should not mention it anymore. Just he
let's
mentioned
stop,
it.
Please,
it's the only
now.
Time. That's it. We're done.
It's so good.
Yeah. All right. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Row two candidates in the race to defeat Alderman Ed Burke teaming up to avoid a runoff.